Hare Krishna. I have a question here from Tish Benedict Mathew. I answered one of his questions just recently. But anyway, he's asking about the control of mind, control of speech, control of senses, as it's described in that hierarchical order, that it's more difficult to control the mind, more easy to control the tongue, and control the senses. And how does this all work? How should one apply oneself to that? Very, very relevant question, important question. And of course, Krishna in the Gita, he talks about this hierarchy of subtlety, Indriyani Paranayahu, Indriya Paramana, Manasastu Puro Buddhir, Yogudhi Parasastusa. And he points out that the senses are the grossest of all elements, and above the senses is the mind, and then the intelligence, and then the soul. And spiritual life ultimately means learning how to bring the mind under control, because without controlling the mind, one cannot become a yogi. So, manashastrindriyani prakriti stani karshati, where Krishna says, without gaining control of the mind, one can hardly be called a yogi. But the mind is very difficult to control. Krishna, Arjuna says, chanchalahi mana Krishna pramati balavadritam. It's like controlling the wind. And Krishna says, abhyasena kutukantena vairagina griyate. Krishna doesn't disagree, but he says, but abhyasena kutukantena vairagina. You have to keep trying. You have to keep trying. What does it mean to keep trying? So keep trying means that one needs to first learn how to control the senses. Why? Because the senses are more grosser, and therefore there's something that you can both grab a hold of easier, control easier, and also relate to easier. For instance, if you want to control your eating, anyone can control their eating, but the desire to eat things may still be there. So how is that desire manifest? The desire manifests within one's mind. So you may just want to be eating three times a day, and yet the desire to eat 10 times a day may still be there. And so it is with other things. So the Bacho Vegam, these Vegam, these pushings of the material desires, they manifest through the mind and the senses. And when we control the senses, then at least we've started to tie down the process of control. But neither, we've not just only tied down the mind, at least to one stake. It may be moving around in so many other ways, but at least it's tied down in this way. But we also began the process of purification of the desire. And that's where real control really takes place. And that's why the yogis, no matter how much they may try, they never really succeed in attaining liberation, because desire within their hearts remains. They may be very good at restraining their senses, and due to samskaras, they may have a certain level of spiritual purity, purity of the heart, but in the ultimate issue, they will again fall down. Why? Because the desires remain within the heart. So, but when our senses are rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktiruchate, when they're engaged in Krishna's service, then that activity, to the degree that we're absorbed in it, becomes a purificatory activity and purifies our heart. I say to the degree that we're absorbed in it, because everyone knows that their devotional activities give different types of results. For instance, the very clear example of chanting Hare Krishna. So anyone can chant Hare Krishna. It simply means that you vibrate the mantra, your tongue is engaged, you're listening with your ears, you're chanting japa, so your sense of touch is also absorbed, is also engaged. The senses are connected, but how much are you absorbed in that activity? How much are you absorbed in listening to the holy name of the Lord? And when one is completely neglectful of the holy name, then we know that's called namaparad. Namaparad yuktanam. Fine, one should continue to chant, even if one's chanting namaparad. But bahujam nakoti. But one is aware of the fact that, well, it will take a real long time for the control of the mind and the benefits of that chanting to take place. However, if one chants attentively, then one will become purified much, much, much faster. And in that way, the mind will really become, as Krishna says, it starts off as being your enemy, but then later on it will become your friend. So the mind will therefore become friendly. So to the degree that one is focused on the activities, devotional activities of the senses, to that degree the heart becomes purified, and proportionately to that degree then one actually is able to have control over the mind, because it becomes easier. You have to make the effort to control the mind, there's no question about that, but at the same time the ability to control the mind increases more and more as the heart becomes more and more purified. So therefore, we start off by controlling the senses. Now, of course, of amongst all the senses, shivepile bishaya shagare, vacho vegam, manasikoda vegam, the most difficult one to control is the tongue. But for that, we have Krishna's holy name, we have prasadam, and this is how we learn how to control our tongue. And Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, one needs to practice the austerity of speech. Because what we say will certainly have a certain effect on the way that we think, and the way that we think will also influence the way that we act. If we don't act in ways that are serving Krishna, then we don't become purified, but rather we can become contaminated, and therefore it becomes more difficult not only to control the senses, but again to control the mind. So one therefore has to be extremely careful about those things that he talks about, those things that he thinks about, continue on with that process of enthusiastic determination to control the mind. And of course, that will happen if one is very intelligent, or if one's intelligence is strong. So, vacho, therefore, indriyani parane ahur, indriya paramana, manasasta puro buddhi. Yes, so where is the buddhi? The intelligence, if very much fortified with transcendental knowledge, will be able to also tie down the mind from the other side. On one side, the mind is tied down by the senses. On the other side, the mind can be tied down by the intelligence. No, you shouldn't think this. You shouldn't do that. This is not a good thing, because that's the result, and so on, and so on, and so on. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada gave us all of these books and emphasized, yes, we should read, we should study these books. Why? Because when we study these books, then our intelligence becomes fortified. And then from within, now we're balancing the mind, we're tying down the mind, both from within and without, outside. And that's why it's so important for one to be very regulated in devotional activities, so that the senses are under control, that we're always engaged in service to Krishna. And similarly, why it's always so important to be hearing transcendental knowledge and then being in the association of Vaishnavas, reading and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, because then from within the mind is controlled. And once the mind is controlled, then mamcha yovya vicharina bhakti yovina sevate, then one can really begin to perform avyabhicharini bhakti. Until then, devotional service, you will not be able to be unbroken devotional service, because with an unbridled mind, unbridled senses, unbridled tongue, there will continue to come so many different distractions, and therefore that doesn't allow us to really smartavyam satatam Vishnu, always think about Krishna. So controlling the senses, controlling speech, controlling the mind, these things are all there and all part of the scientific process of devotional service, but it does require application. And when we don't apply ourselves, especially right to the very ABC of controlling our senses and controlling our speech, then we are engaged in what's called mechanical devotional service. To the degree that we're absorbed, to that degree it becomes less mechanical, and ultimately, as the heart becomes purified, it then becomes transcendental, it then becomes spiritual. It becomes spiritual because when the heart is fully pure, then we come to the spiritual platform. And at the spiritual platform, then one is spontaneously attracted, and what Krishna says, the mind, and at that stage becomes the friend. And with the mind being the friend, then both the speech as well as the sensual activities, they are all naturally then engaged in Krishna's service. Anyway, these are some of the thoughts on Mate's questions, and we'll continue on tomorrow. Hare Krishna.